Thank you so much, Kim. 1 Peter chapter number 4, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4, while you're turning there, just a couple of things. We'll have some committee meetings after the service here. And if you're not a part of one of those, we'd love for you to be a part. We really can use some help on a couple of those. So you can see me about locations and so forth. And then I got a text from Dale this morning. He is really struggling with some pain, and they have messed up his pain medicine. And so just pray for him as you think about it, that they can get that resolved. And then he's supposed to go to the doctor this week and find out about rehab and all those kind of things. So if you can pray for him, I would appreciate it very much. And I know he would too as well. We're going to read a number of passages of Scripture this morning to kind of get an overall view of what Peter is talking about here. We're certainly not going to be able to deal exclusively, or let's say comprehensively is a better word, with everything about gifts this morning. But we want to look at this idea from 1 Peter chapter number 4. He says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I love how Peter brings that grace in here and the songs we sang this morning. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." One author said, "It's implied from this text that every believer, every Christian, has some gift that's used within the local church." I believe this passage and several others doesn't just imply it, but it says so. God has given you a gift in which you can serve the local church. In some cases, some of you have more than one gift. Those gifts are primarily broken down into two categories. They are those gifts that are speaking in nature and those gifts that are serving in nature. In other words, the gift of teaching or the gift of preaching, those kinds of things would be speaking in nature, exhortation, those kind of things. Whereas serving tables and hospitality and those kind of things would be more of the serving aspect. So speaking and serving. And he deals with those two general categories in our text this morning. He's already dealt with some specific things. Now, have fervent charity among yourselves. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Those kind of things. Now, what I'd like for us to do is look at a couple of other passages of Scripture to get a kind of a fuller idea of this idea of gifts. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, and then we'll look at one other passage, and then we'll be back in the passage here in 1 Peter. So Romans 12, and we'll begin in verse 6. Romans 12 and verse 6. He says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." I read a little bit extra than just the gifts because I think Peter uses some of this same language surrounding spiritual gifts and how to deal with them. And I think it was important to see that Paul's context as well. Then 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. He says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, time would fail us this morning to deal with every nuance of the gifts, but let me just give you some background and we'll go back to 1 Peter then. I believe that every member of the local church has been given at least a gift, in some cases more than one gift, in which you will serve, that you should serve anyway. If you don't use that gift, then you'll give an account for that. I think areas of gifts can be developed. For instance, you may not naturally be a giver, but I think you can learn to be a giver. You may not naturally be hospitable, but I think you can learn to do that. So there are things in which we can accomplish over time as we mature in Christ, we can develop those. Then there are gifts that we would call sign gifts. Those are identified for us in Mark chapter 16, in which it authenticated this New Testament church. Those gifts, I've now ceased, tongues and some of the other things, and we could go into detail, but we don't have time to do that this morning. So there was operation of gifts that were used in the beginning of the church. Some of those have fallen away. Some of those are still in use today. And God intends for us as a local body of believers to use those gifts and serve one another, and ultimately to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's interesting that in all the text of Scripture, there's a couple of things that he points out to us. One, that ultimately the glory for the use of gifts goes to God. In other words, no person who's been gifted in a certain area should glory in themselves. That came from God, and the praise, the glory, should be given back to God. That's the first thing. The second thing is that those gifts come by the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God is the one who imparts those gifts to us. And the third thing is the gifts are different, and they're going to be used differently. We'll talk a little bit more about this later on, but I think it's important for us to understand that if you have a particular passion about a particular area that God has gifted you in, recognize that not everybody is going to be as passionate about that particular gift as you are, because God gave you that gift, and he expects you to function in that way. And if everybody was just passionate about that one area, the church would be deficient, ultimately, okay? Now, all of us have various functions. And in some of these texts of Scripture, it goes on to talk about how some parts are not very comely. In other words, it's not very glamorous. Some of the gifts are not glamour gifts, if you will. They're just gifts that just happen behind the scenes constantly. But they're pretty necessary. My wife said yesterday, I think it was, she said, "Have you ever thought about what all your feet do for you?" I mean, they actually do quite a bit, don't they? They carry you where you go. They get quite a bit of wear and tear, and you kind of abuse them too, you know. But they're pretty necessary, aren't they? They're not necessarily that glamorous. I mean, yours may be, but anyway, I won't go any further with that, right? What's the greatest thing you can do with a gift? Use it. Invest it, if you will. When I give somebody a gift, I don't want them to say, "Oh, that is such a pretty dress, I'm never going to wear it." That's not something I want you to wear it. If I gave you, well, I wouldn't give you, I'd give this lady down here one, or maybe my daughters or something like that. But anyway, my granddaughters too, I have some of those. So here's the truth of this passage of Scripture. You must use the gift God has given you to bring him glory and to serve others. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would work as we cover a lot of material in this. Help it to be clear. Help us to understand where we are in this process. And we love you. Thank you for giving us gifts to function within the body. And may we praise you for it. May we glorify you by using it. In your name we pray. Amen. Number one, we'll see first off the receiving of the gift, and that is by the Spirit. He says, "As every man hath received the gift, We know from the other passage of Scripture, you received that gift at your moment of salvation. The Spirit of God indwelt you when you became a Christian. When you repented of your sins, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a Christian. You became in the body of Christ. And when that happened, the Spirit of God indwelled you. He sealed you for that future gift that God's going to give us in eternal life. Just a kind of a down payment, if you will. And with that came gift or gifts that you can operate within the local church. He says, as or according to the proportion as. Every man has this. We've received it. It's been given to us. And he talks about this gift. It's very interesting. The root word for the word gift is the word grace. Word grace. The favor one receives without any merit of his own. This is not something that you conjured up. This is something the Spirit of God gave you to function within the local church. It can be the gift of faith or knowledge or holiness or virtue. It can also mean a gift denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your soul. So in other words, this is a supernatural work that God wants to do through you to benefit the local church and to bring glory to God. It's very interesting as Paul uses this word gift and as others use it in the New Testament. Paul uses it specifically in relation to salvation. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16 it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." In other words, your salvation was free to you. It cost our Lord dearly, but it was free to you. And unless you repent of your sins and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you don't get to get this gift. Paul says it's related to salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Paul also uses the word not just in connection to salvation, but also through spiritual gifts by which one can serve another. And we've referenced those already in Romans 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, now these are the diversities of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And Paul is just about ready to introduce 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. You can have all the gifts, and if you don't love people, it's nothing. Which I think is interesting as Peter kind of introduced this section by saying, above all things, what? Have fervent charity one among yourselves. So you can see the connection between Peter's writings and Paul's writings. Paul also used this word in connection to the pastoral office. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." He's speaking to Timothy, "which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which was in thee by the putting on of my hands." Being able to be in the ministry, in my case, pastoring this church, is a gift that God's given me. And I'm grateful for that gift. And it's not something that I should glory in. And here's an important thing about the gifts. Sometimes we exalt certain gifts because they seem to be a better gift, if you will. But you understand that God sees us just the same. Me as the pastor, standing before all the people, and the nursery worker that's using their gift that God's given them, exactly the same. They're both using their gift faithfully as God's given it to them. I was going to ask him about this beforehand, but I'll just embarrass him without asking him. I don't know what Billy Cawthon's spiritual gift is. I have a guess at what it is. I think it'd probably be the gift of administration. I've never tested him. You would agree with me, wouldn't you, Pastor? and you know what? It has been a huge blessing to Emmanuel Baptist Church that he's used that gift in the function of our church. Where our finances are today and how they're organized and how our budget works through the process, how our requisitions work through the process, all of those things, not only for safety for us, but for you as church members, all came because God has gifted him in that area of administration. And I could point out others as well. That's using the gift. Now, the truth is, most of you probably wouldn't have thought of Billy's gift as administration, and some of you may not even know he used it that way. But that's part of the function of the church. But most of you probably knew who the pastor was. I hope you did anyway. I love it when I knock on somebody's door and they tell me that their church is Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I'm like, oh, really? Who's the pastor? I can't remember who the pastor is. I'm like, I love it. I had that one time, and I finally looked at him and said, I'm actually the pastor. Oh, you could see the recognition, like, oh boy, yeah, like, now what do I say, right? Yeah, and the last time I checked, you're not a member of this church unless it's been a really, 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 really long time, right? But anyway, so God's given us gifts, and we can use them in all kinds of ways. Though Paul uses it in pastoral office, spiritual gifts to the local church, in salvation, I believe Peter is using this specifically in the context of a local church using the gifts that God has given them. So what grace or gift has God given you to use for his purposes? And are you using it? You're like, I don't know what my gift is. You might want to get busy figuring it out. You might want to try to figure out what God has gifted you with, because you're going to give an account for that one day, how you use the gift that God gave us. So we have the receiving of the gift. That's by the Spirit. The reason for the gift, number two, is to serve others. See what he says here? Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This word minister is the word to be a servant. Matter of fact, we get our word deacon from this word. It's used in Acts chapter 6 in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That's the idea, minister in tables. And so from that passage, they choose you out among you, men of honest report and so forth, kind of the precursor to deacons before they're later qualified and so forth in some of the pastoral epistles. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, speaking of deacons, it says, and let those also first be proved, then them let they use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. That's that word, the minister there to other people. Now, this doesn't mean that only deacons should serve. Now, they should serve, okay? I'm glad I can say that without our deacons being worried. They should serve, and they do. But that doesn't mean that's the only time, the only people within the body of Christ. But it is one of the ways that the verse is used. In Acts chapter 6, same passage where he talks about deacons, he says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, he uses the same word for ministering the word. In other words, serving the word. So what I'm doing right now, in a sense, is ministering the word or serving the word. It's used in both deacon and pastor in that passage of Scripture. And I've already mentioned this, but the gifts are generally divided into speaking gifts and serving gifts. This same word is used again in verse 11. If any man minister, let him do it as ability what God's given him. That's our same word that's been given there. The idea behind this word, if we could just boil it down to this, is pour yourself into someone else. That's really the idea of ministering, to pour himself into or toward another. Are you doing that? Are you pouring your gift into other people? Are you serving other people? How are you using that gift to serve others? Or are you pouring yourself into others? So the reception of the gift, it's by the Spirit of God. The reason for the gift, it's to serve others. The responsibility of the gift, number three, to be a steward. To be a steward. He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You've heard this word steward before. It means a manager of what has been given. And what is required of a steward? The Bible says that a man be found faithful. Aren't you glad for that? Man, there are all kinds of things that God could have said there that would have put some of us in trouble. He could have said, as a steward, it's important that a man be found rich. Well, that would eliminate many of us, even though we learned in our Sunday school class this morning that pretty much everybody in this room is rich compared to world standards, right? But nevertheless, it would eliminate some of us. Or it could have said, be talented. It could have said, be good looking. Some of you immediately smiled. You knew God wasn't talking about you, right? Is that why you smiled, or were you smiling because you thought God was talking about you? Aren't you glad he didn't say that? No, he said that we can be faithful, because here's the deal. Faithfulness is a character issue that everyone can do. Everyone can be faithful. Every one of us in this room can do that. If we bury our gift in the dirt and not use it, we're going to give an account to God. You remember the story, right, of the talents and how some people were given talents and they worked and worked and worked and doubled them, and another one, they doubled them, and the one said, you know what, I'm not going to do anything with my talent. I'm just going to bury it in the sand here, and when I come back, I'm going to give it to God. Are you going to take the gift that God gave you and say, here it is, God. I was supposed to do this in the local church, but I decided just to save it for you. That's not what he wants you to do with it. Be steward. God's grace is like a beautiful jewel with its many facets and phases. That's what this word means here, the manifold grace of God. In other words, God's grace cannot be put in a box. God's grace allows us to serve in all kinds of ways. And that's the beauty of it. When we serve the way that God has gifted us to serve, we put on display the grace of God. And we give a different angle than anyone has seen before, maybe from our standpoint. In other words, I preach, I pastor this church, I've seen that grace in my life. But when I see someone else serving in another way, then I get to see a different facet of God's grace being on display. It's kind of like if you've ever taken a jewel or a piece of glass even, and you've turned it differently in the light, and you get just a little bit different prism. That's the idea of this manifold grace of God. We serve in various ways. We put on display in various areas God's grace in our life. So how are you stewarding your gift or gifts that God has given you? And are you displaying the various ways that God's grace is working by using your gifts in the local church or in your local church? We see number four, the requirements of the gift. What are the requirements of the gifts in verse 11? He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. What are the requirements of the gift? It's to do it by and for the Savior. In other words, God doesn't want you to practice your gift apart from his enabling. He wants you to practice it by his enabling. And so when that happens, people point to God, not you. That's the deal. When people say, oh, that really wasn't you. Good. That's a good thing. That was God speaking through you. That's exactly right. That's what it's supposed to be. And as I've said, this idea of speaking, you see that there? He says, let him speak as the oracles of God. The word speak simply means to use words to declare one's mind, to disclose your thoughts. But notice what he says here. He doesn't just say speak. He said speak as the oracles of God. So if you're going to speak, how do you speak? You say, thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith, and put your name in there. That's what he's saying here. He said, when you speak, whether that's through an official preaching ministry or a teaching ministry or an exhortation or whatever it may be, when you speak what God said, not what you say. You give God's words, not my words. That's why it's dangerous when a quote-unquote pastor or preacher opens the Word of God, reads a text of Scripture, and then says whatever he wants to say for the next 30 minutes. That's not how we're supposed to speak. And that's true of you in your classroom, if God's given you one, or whatever else. God's given you a one-on-one opportunity. We're not interested in your opinion. We're interested in what God says. Thus saith the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, Paul says, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So he says, if you're going to speak God's words. There's plenty in here, by the way. plenty in here for us to say. But he said, if you're going to serve, then minister. To serve, why? How, I should say. Well, by the force or the strength or the might is what that word ability means, that God has given you. So again, what he's saying is, don't do that in the energy of the flesh, but do it by the Spirit of God. Let God work in you. God is able to supply. He's able to furnish abundantly whatever you need to serve. He says here, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Now, here's the question for us. Can we teach a Sunday school class? Can we serve a meal? Can we use our gift of administration in the flesh? We can. We can give our opinions. We can minister by our own abilities. And sometimes we can see where God uses that in spite of us. For instance, God used Samson, didn't he? I mean, you're talking about a guy that was messed up. He was messed up. But God still used him sometimes. But I want to tell you, I want to be used not just sometimes, but all the time. Before we got to this text of Scripture, you answer this in your mind, not outwardly. How many of you would say that it was just as important for me to be filled with the Spirit when I step in the pulpit as it is for you to be filled in the Spirit to walk in the parking lot? Or to take up an offering? Or to play a special? Or to work in a preschool class? Or to count money? Which one of those are more important that we be in the Spirit? They're all important that we be in the Spirit. And God doesn't want us to come here without the Spirit working in us. He abundantly supplies. The word says, which God giveth. This is an interesting word. This word originally denoted providing a choir for a public festival at one's own expense and thus suggests supplying lavishly. That's the word giveth. In other words, God's going to give you lavishly what you need to serve Him. So you're like, well, I think God wants me to do such and such, but I don't think I can do that. Well, if God's asked you to do it, guess what? He's going to provide for you lavishly what you need for it. And if you say, well, I don't think I have any gift. Yes, you do. Either that or you don't have the Spirit, which is a problem. We probably should talk about that, all right? And how are you using that gift? By the way, 2 Peter chapter 1, which, Lord willing, we'll get to eventually. I'm actually preaching two verses this morning instead of one. And shock of all shocks, I'm going to preach seven verses next week, Lord willing. But 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you know what that simply means? You've got everything you need to accomplish what God wants you to do. That's pretty amazing. You're like, well, I think if I was a little bit smarter, I could do. No. You have the exact brain God wanted you to have for what He wants you to accomplish. He's given you exactly what you need to accomplish what He has for you to accomplish. Don't try to do what God has not gifted you to do. Now, please understand, it's important for us to not only use our gift, but it's important for us to use the gift that God has given us in our area rather than trying to do someone else's. Now, the truth is, since I'm already picking on the Cawthons, all right, I'll pick on Robin a little bit. Don't worry, Robin. I knew her face. That's why I'm going to pick on her a little bit. If I asked Robin to say something publicly in church, she would either pass out, not show up, and then probably later kill me. Those are probably all three options. See her face down there? Okay. But here's the deal. If you want something done behind the scenes, you get Robin to do it. She's going to be ultra organized. Right, Billy? And she loves to serve that way, by the way. Just don't you dare ask her to stand up and speak publicly. All right. She said, when Billy went to the college, she said, I'm supposed to go to this faculty thing. Do they make me say anything? I said, oh, yeah, you got to stand up. She said, I'm not going. I said, I'm kidding with you. They don't make you say anything. You say, well, I can't believe she won't do that. That's not how God's gifted her. That's not how God's gifted her. Now, me, I don't mind standing up in front of you. You're like, it's a good thing, right? Well, I'm not saying it's a good thing for you. I'm just saying I don't mind standing up here doing it. It's the way that God has gifted me to do that. And I'm grateful for that. That's God that's worked in that. It's not anything of me. And it's not anything of you either, by the way. So are you trying to force yourself to do something God has not gifted you to do? I think a lot of local churches have frustrated workers because they're serving in areas where they're not gifted to serve and they're frustrated by it. Find out where God wants you and serve there. Are you depending on His power to use your gift, whatever that may be? Quickly, let's look at the ramifications of the gift. What is the ramifications of this? It's for His splendor. Notice what He says here. That, in other words, the reason God's given you these gifts, the reason He wants you to function this way, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It doesn't say so that people will pat you on the back. It doesn't say so that people will go, wow, are you gifted? That's not what He says. He says the reason you serve, the reason God has gifted you, is so that people will say, what a God you have. Man, He could take somebody as dumb as you and let Him speak. Now, it wouldn't encourage me very much if He walked out and said those exact words this morning. But it is true. I tell my college students sometimes, I'm like, whenever you think you're a big cheese and your things are going well and you're really getting this speaking thing down, just remember, God can use a donkey to get His message apart too. So, matter of fact, when Steve and I were driving to Georgia to pick up the chairs, he was reading the Bible to both of us. We got to the passage in 1 Timothy about, you don't tread out the ox that treadeth out the corn. He looked over at me and called me an ox. Matter of fact, I think he called me a dumb ox. Can you believe that? He's a deacon too. I told him I didn't mind at all if he gave me double honor. It's in the same context, right? Amen? Let's get this straight here. Why are we doing what we're doing? That God may be glorified. This word glorified means to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to be manifest or acknowledged. To give the right opinion of the God you serve. By the way, this word praise is the same root word for glorified. God is the one that we're supposed to give everything to. And when we function within the local church, that's what we're supposed to say. So does the use of your gift cause others to show dignity and worth to you and acknowledge you? Or does it show dignity and worth and acknowledge God? Now, that's what it's really supposed to do. It's not a matter of if you have a gift. If you're saved, I believe you have one. If you don't have one, then we need to talk about your salvation. Find and use that gift for God's glory. If you're not using your gift, it's highly possible that within the local body of Christ, right here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, something is going deficient. Because God's placed you here to use that gift. Don't expect everyone to be as excited about your gift as you are. That's your gift. They may be functioning differently within the body, and they're just as necessary. And when we appreciate that, then we can look at some other uncomely part, if you will, and say, boy, is that important for us. Well, that's pretty important that we do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, You've gifted all of us differently. And it's sin for us to think our gifts are more important than others. It's sin for us to exalt ourselves in a gift that You've given us. And Your Spirit is the one that's divinely empowering us to do the gift. Help us not to view things that way. And within this local body, we're so grateful for the many, many people that function well. I'm just amazed at the people I hear serving in areas that I didn't even know about. I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting us function that way, and may we continue. And God, would your Spirit work even now in this time of invitation as we draw these truths to a close. And we'll thank you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is a little more difficult message to apply per se, but can I ask you, are you functioning your gift in your own strength? Have you taught a class? Have you sang a special? You fill it in. Have you done some of those things in your own strength and ability? Or have you depended upon God? Have you pointed the praise and glory to Him? And there's nothing wrong. The Bible says, praise another man, not thine own lips. That's fine to do, but ultimately it ought to be about God. Are you using your gift within the local body? The gifts that God's given you? He's given you one somehow or another. I'm grateful that this is a message I can preach without a whole lot of difficulty, because it's so well functioning within this body. But maybe God's spoken to your heart in that way. Or perhaps you say, Pastor, the truth is, I'm not sure that I have a gift because I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I don't think I've ever repented of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Boy, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you that this morning. Would you quietly stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? Rachel's going to begin to quietly pray. To my left is one of our deacons, and one of our pastoral staff members is to my right. If God's spoken to you and you need some help, come. Or maybe you just want to come and kneel here and say, God, I've not been using my gift, or I've been using it in the power of the flesh and not in the Spirit of God. Would you help me to do those things that are pleasing to you? Would you respond this morning? I want to be faithful.